Formally, actually I have to first welcome my audience into this particular subject of the Bhagavatam. It refers to the talks between Narada and King Prachinibhaichat. And just to bring us on the level where we are at the moment, Narada Muni had given the king an analogy about material life. The analogy was about the soul searching, or wanted to explain the soul searching for a suitable body and in the process equipping itself with a material intelligence to live its life in the world. This body was compared to a city, and the intelligence to a queen who ruled with the living entity together the physical body and its surrounding, that is the area of one's influence. So here's now the text for you. Formerly it was explained that the queen is one's intelligence. While one is awake or asleep, that intelligence creates different situations. Being influenced by contaminated intelligence, the living entity envisions something and simply imitates the actions and reactions of his intelligence. Purport. The queen of Puranjana is described herein as intelligence itself. Intelligence acts both in the dream state and in the waking state, but it is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Since the intelligence is contaminated, the living entity is also contaminated. In the conditioned state, the living entity acts according to his contaminated intelligence. Although he simply remains an observer, he nonetheless acts. Being forced by a contaminated intelligence, which in reality is a passive agent. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This discussion brings us right into the Sankhya perspective of our life. in this perspective or this knowledge, we find knowledge how to explain our psychological workings. A person who is married to a very powerful lady will follow this lady very naturally. So the forgetful soul is married or connected in this body with a powerful material intelligence, and therefore it simply follows this intelligence through the different movements of life. It was previously expressed that Puranjana, who was quite helpless, had Puranjana refers to the living entity, had met on a beautiful lake a wonderful lady. She was imagine this very, very beautiful. She had a yellow zari on, and she was siam colored. That means a dark blue. Just we all know from our Krishna conscious deity darshans how nice the Lord looks with this yellow dhoti which covers his bluish blackish body. So the intelligence looked like that. It looked like God, in colors at least. The explanation which is given is that the intelligence had the darkish color of a cloud, because just like a cloud covers the sun, the intelligence of the living entity in the mind covers God, actually. So that later we heard how Puranjana, the living entity, lived together with his beautiful and a very strong queen, and it is described when she laughed, he laughed. He followed her very strictly. When she was sad, he was also sad. When she felt like enjoyment, he very dutifully enjoyed with her. In this way, the living entity, this is always, please think of the analogy, follows the material contaminated intelligence in all ways. I was smiling because on my return flight from Russia to Munich, I was picking up the Moscow Times, and I actually read something about this. There was in Ukraine a very powerful female politician, a woman who is who was the president of Ukraine and will soon become again the president, and her daughter married a British rocker, a singer from the group the Death Valley Screamers. I read in the newspaper this information, and it was interesting. This man, you know, really looked like a little, you know, like from a metal group, heavy metal group, not so extremely bright. And he was next to this very beautiful daughter of the most influential lady in a huge country, which is much bigger than Germany. Ukraine is, you can put five Germanys into it. It's a very big country. It was described how he had followed his new wife. You know, he had brought his Harley Davidson it's a motorcycle, I understand, from London to the Ukraine, and was now no longer in the Death Valley Screamers group, because there's sufficient money for him now available in other ways so that he can fuel his motorcycle, and no need any longer to work so hard and screaming, and I was just smiling. He was totally following his beautiful wife and powerful wife, and even changed the country, and is now driving his Harley Davidson motorcycle in Ukraine. So this is a little bit how the living entity follows. This is the analogy that follows the powerful material intelligence, which looks godlike, because it is very influential, but which actually covers God. Therefore, it is described, it has the color of a blackish cloud, which in this case covers the Syam Sundara, the beautiful Lord Krishna. Please keep this analogy in mind as we enter now a deeply psychological subject matter, which we can find in spiritual psychology. I want to say, first of all, that Krishna consciousness is a movement to correct this mistake of covering ourselves with the material intelligence which we follow. Krishna consciousness is a movement which wishes to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We want to love Him, we want to, Prabhupada says in one purport, dance with Him, we want to be admitted to His pleasure full pastimes and His love. But as we will soon see, our material intelligence is and mind are often opposed to this concept, and therefore cannot really appreciate the Lord. Our intelligence, material intelligence, and mind have two functions. We want to enjoy, and the intelligence makes plans how to exactly enjoy. And in order to enjoy, we do need to exercise a control over the objects which we wish to enjoy. Now these two functions, enjoyment and controlling, are the functions of God. Therefore, in this world, we often act as rivals to God. It is this mentality, this rival mentality, which keeps us from really perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It would be very, very easy to see God if we wouldn't have these two functions in our material intelligence. Imagine there is a thief who enters the villa of a very rich man. Do you know that in the thief's mind there is one idea which keeps him from wanting to see the rich man? He wants to enjoy and control. And the thief who enters into this into the villa just does not want to see the owner of the villa, if you think about it. Or, you know, if you, I remember when I was young, the moment I heard do 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 do, this is the siren of the police car. I was really not wishing to see the police because I had gone for free in the cinema. I had gone for free in the classical concerts. I had gone everywhere for free. And in my childish mind, I considered this a great offense. I didn't do much more wrong. It was just I went everywhere for free without paying tickets or in the... And I do remember this feeling. I really don't want to see the police. I absolutely don't want to see them. I was a little self-conscious. I mean, obviously they were not after me. They were after someone else. But so we are very similar, my dear devotees. The reason why we don't perceive Krishna in our chanting, the reason why we don't perceive Krishna on the altar, the reason why we do not perceive Krishna in the taste of water is because we follow our material intelligence, which covers the Lord. Very often, when we had just now a chanting retreat, where from this project Anandini was present and Gaurahari was also present. I think this were mostly all the devotees who were present from this project. It was in a very, very wonderful part of the Swiss Alps. We were the last house, so to say, of the civilized world, and we were doing a japa retreat. So I remember the first day was the very easy day, and the second day I put on the gas. I said, for this day we are only saying the Hare Krishna mantra, and otherwise we observe Mona, that is silence. Even when we eat, we can perfectly make ourselves clear by making this. This means no, thank you, I do not wish. And this means, oh yes, please give me more of the beautiful soup in my on my plate. Huh? And naturally, it was a very challenging experience. Then the third day, we said, okay, now we will talk. The whole day we will have workshops how we can have the most ecstatic experience in chanting. And the first rule is forget your own ecstasies. Give pleasure to Krishna. Krishna is already Rasaraj, the king of all mellow tastes of enjoyments. And you are meant to supply enjoyment to him. If you wish to kick Lord Krishna off his throne and sit there as the enjoyer of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, it will not work because you are not God. And then we introduced many prayers to our audience. We had wonderful bhajans and we heard wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. And we all became extremely charmed by Lord Krishna. And then we went into the fourth day where we again chanted 64 rounds. And this time no one wanted to stop. They had chanted without the material intelligence which wants to enjoy and control. And they had come into the right mood in which the living entity can approach God. The mood of a person who wants to give enjoyment to Rasaraj, the king of all mellows. The mood of someone who doesn't want to take this position at that moment. I would like to now give you after going a little into spiritual psychology, an example from mundane psychology, because you might find it easier to understand the point in a deep, realized way. A little while ago, there was an experiment. There was a football show shown on a video screen, and those who participated in the experiments were requested to identify exactly what was happening on the screen. In this football show, the organizers of this experiment had put one little unexpected thing. I believe it was a bear, a black bear. I hope I say it in the right English word. Maybe Kosher Rupa can help me. Is it bear or bear? Is it an animal? Which?
Bear.
A bear. There was a black bear who was running over the football field. He was not doing any harm. He was just playfully running over the football field. He was a kind bear. Or I don't know, they had somehow by super photo imposition put him in the thing. But those who sat before the screen were not informed that he was there. They were just requested to identify everything which was on the screen. So they looked. And they said, well, those who were dressed in black tricots, they scored so and so many goals. And those who were dressed in white tricots, maybe like Mangamaya, they scored only so and so many goals. This is all you saw. Well, we saw also how the fans of those in the black tricot were highly enthused. We were observing how the fans of those in the white tricot were getting highly upset with the poor performance of their football players. Is this all you saw? And many questions were asked. This experiment was again and again repeated with a fresh crew of observers, but not a single person described the black bear who ran over the football field, although it is a noteworthy situation. We call it the material intelligence or the mind just didn't think it is possible that there is a bear on a football field. How should it be possible? Usually he would not get an entrance, a ticket, and if he would, he would not be allowed on the football field. So not possible. So in the same way as in this experiment, our material intelligence always blocks out the possibility of meeting Krishna. Prabhupada was once asked by a person, have you seen God? Yes. Can you show me God? Yes. And Prabhupada asked this little question, are you prepared to see him? And then, of course, the journalist said that this would be the highest achievement in my seeing capabilities. Prabhupada would say, well, then you have to be prepared to become like these devotees. But the journalist said, I am practically. I mean, for this, I'm doing everything. I'm shaving up. I'm everything for this experience. Then Prabhupada told him something which strangely enough disappointed the journalist. Krishna, he said, now we will begin our Krishna viewing. I will show you Krishna. Have you drunk water? Yes, said the journalist. Well, Krishna is a taste in water. Swamiji, you promised me to show me God. Yes, Krishna is the taste in water. The journalist could not see the point. Can you see the point? Can you see Krishna when you drink water, Srishtikata? It's a very subtle point. It would be unfair to request of you a yes or a no, because you don't know where you're getting into it, with this answer. Let me first, let me first explain, because I do have a certain concept, so I must first explain the concept. Let us think a little bit about this. When Prabhupada was asked, where is God, he didn't say in Goloka Vrindavan in the beginning. He said, he's a taste of water, the light of the moon, the ability in man. But usually, we can't see the point. Why? But let me explain it to you very clearly. Let us suppose there is someone who really has, who is a powerful person. Let us say in Germany, Mr. Schröder maybe is a very influential person. Mr. Schröder, I'm not informed now, I'm sorry, but there was a new election. At least before the election he was the chancellor. What is now, I absolutely do not know. And it's not so interesting at this moment. Imagine you wish to see him, and he would say, yes, you can meet me in Berlin at the back entrance of the parliament building at 8:30. You would think, well, okay, I'm there. I will meet him there. Now Krishna says exactly the same thing. You can meet me in the taste of water. But we so often, maybe not we as devotees, but the ordinary people who read this, they will say, oh, how poetic. Would you say how poetic when Schröder, the Chancellor of Germany, gives you an appointment where you can see him? Would you think this is an analogical description? No, you would make sure, if it's important for you to see him, you would be at the back entrance of the Reichstagsgebäude, or the parliament, at 8:30 in the morning. You would see him, in other words, according to his own terms, nach seinen Bedingungen in Deutsch. And so in the same way, Lord Krishna starts he encourages us to see him according to his own terms. Whenever we see some wonderful ability in nature, we can immediately see, oh, Krishna is there. I found this in my travels very nice when we were seeing the evening sky over Slovenia. I believe, Srishtikata, you were the one who pointed out one evening, look how nice the sky is with the colors over Slovenia, and so on. We understood that this is a sign of Krishna. With this is already so beautiful. Krishna must be more beautiful than that. I remember I was talking at one devotee who was driving the Sharanagati car. He was pointing this out. I believe it was you, Srishtikata. And this is the first way how to see the Lord. We see him in our immediate surroundings, which naturally he also controls. But I want to now make the point. If you really would not be following the queen of material intelligence, who covers the intelligence, you would have a God-conscious experience when you do this. Because you would be very, very much possible. It would be very much possible for you to see the Lord in this. In Russia, I met one God brother of mine who told me how he met Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji. Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji was a well-educated gentleman who became a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and turned to the holy name in all earnestness, and then was given Babaji initiation, because from morning till evening he would only chant Hare Krishna. So once this devotee, my devotee friend, let us call him Krishna Das, went to, let us call him Govinda Das, because the Akinchana Krishna is already Akinchana Krishna Das, went to see him, and the Babaji asked him, what do you do in the night? So Govinda Das said, is there some festival or something? Yes. Please come here at 9 o'clock. It's Ekadasi. We will chant the whole night. So it was known Akinchana Krishna Das has left already, but Akinchana Krishna Das sang so wonderfully and he played the Midanga so absolutely attractively that Govinda Das brought his tape recorder machine, his tape recorder, to record it, and he thought it was a very nice thing. So at Kinshan, Krishna Das sat down. He welcomed him and said, I will just take a little prasadam. Oh, Babaji Maharaj, it's Ekadasi. You eat prasadam? Oh, yes. On Ekadasi, I chant the whole day and I need some strength for this. I eat 4 times as much as usual because I chant all day. So he ate prasadam in the evening. Then he came into a little room, sat on the wooden bed, and started to chant. Govinda said, should I bring the Madanga? No, this evening we will just chant on our beads up till the morning. Ah! Now, Govinda, he had come for enjoyment, but this meant serious work. So, Das Babaji went into the chanting mood. He started in his usual way, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He chanted very melodiously, first very slow, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Then he picked up speed, and finally, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. At around 10 o'clock, the pujari of that, it was Imli Tal, came in and said he shared the room with Akinchan Das Krishna. Akinchan Das, Krishna Das, Krishna Das Babaji. Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji. And said, oh, Babaji Maharaj, I must now sleep. I have to awaken the deities in the morning. Yes, you sleep, you sleep. We will chant. Yes, Babaji Maharaj. And the pujari pointed that there is this this little light bulb shining. You know, there was a typical Indian 25-watt bulb. You know, this in our Western understanding, it's only an imitation of a light bulb. You switch it off. So the whole night, up to 3 o'clock in the morning, he was gone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can imagine our Govinda Das waking up and not knowing how long he had rested, trying to keep the pace. And finally at 3 o'clock, Govinda Das said, Babaji, he didn't hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He was just in ecstasy somewhere else with Krishna. Babaji, no reaction. Louder. Govinda Das said, I have to go and do my puja at the Prabhupada Samadhi. Babaji Maharaj, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Then he shook him slightly and affectionately. Babaji Maharaj, what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What? Ram Ram. He couldn't stop. Babaji, I have to do my puja in Prabhupada Samadhi. Go, go, Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna. Finally, he came to a stop. But promise me one thing. What is that? Said Govinda Das. Kirtaniya Sadhari. Always Sada means always. Always do the Kirtan of Hari. Now go! The reason why I tell you this is it's so easy to recognize Krishna. It's so absolutely easy. Start with the water meditation. Continue somewhere along the way with the Hare Krishna meditation and end with the Krishna and Vrindavan meditation. It is a very easy. But our material intelligence is like the thief who doesn't want to the owner of the house to come and see him. That's the reason. So I have by now learned to shock my audience a little bit. It took me 33 years to find out what shocks a Hare Krishna devotee. Here I will say, do you want to see Krishna? Okay. Govinda said, yes. Then continue to wave your incense, ring your bells, call out the names of your Lord, but then do not be surprised when he actually comes. He will take you into his forge. Again, I will turn to Kosha Rupa for existential linguistic help. Is forge, or how do we say it? Forge means where the blacksmith works. It's blacksmith's workshop. He has usually a fire there and an anvil, and he ding 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 works on iron. Forge. You spell it F O R G A. F O. Yes. Does this make sense to you, this word? No, then maybe I got the wrong word. I must have the wrong word. See, that's Kosha Rupa's one of her specialities, the English language. The blacksmith's workshop. Does this mean? So God will take you in his blacksmith workshop, for those who speak German, Schmiede. Schmiede. He will light up his fire. He will bring you to his anvil. Anvil heißt Amboss in Deutsch. And he will take his hammer, not the small one, not the middle one, but the big one. And he will hammer and hammer and hammer on you, because he wants to transform ordinary iron into pure gold. Okay, call the name of your Lord, and then you will see how he comes. Don't be surprised. We have this in our tradition. When the Lord loves someone especially, he will take everything away from him which hinders the person on his way back home, back to Godhead. I believe here is the cross point where you find a difference between religion and spirituality. Religion means to bring God, to make God serve somehow our needs and our ways in this world. We pray to God for success in our activities, and we also give him a little of our, like a business partner, a little of our time and a little bit of our money and so on. We pray to him like a... But spirituality means to bring Krishna in the center and to bring you, bring ourselves in the position of the servant of Krishna. And believe it or not, this is the highest enjoyment. But when, if you want it, you cannot think of your own enjoyment. This position. This is really the dividing line. I believe also it is, it will always be something which will in our hearts bring about two reactions. You all know we have a constitutional nature, pure soul, which will like such preaching and information and will see the point. We also have a conditioned side in us, which will, how do you say, object to this very strongly, because our material intelligence wants more religion than spirituality. I believe personally that all of us are on different levels when it comes to this surrender to the Lord. And the Lord is extremely kind that he does not demand this highest standard from his devotees. He knows, like a father knows with his own children, that this is a very difficult and very mature stance of spiritual life. And he is very, very, very grateful for even a little service which someone does. It's not that Krishna only takes us if we are prepared to give up the enjoying and surrendering mentality. Krishna is extremely grateful, this is one of his qualities, for every little service which a devotee can render to him. He is, in other words, not the all or nothing person which we know in this world, in which we are intuitively afraid of, because how can I give all at once? I can give whatever my present situation allows me, and he is so kind that he accepts it. He comes in, it's described in that the Pancharatnas, five jewels of Vaishnavism, it's the Lord in his personal form, it's the Lord in his Vaikuntha form, the Lord in his many incarnations, the Lord in the heart, at the super soul, and finally the Lord on the altar. He comes even as a Shila to devotees in their homes and in their altar, and he accepts whatever little service is given to him. This is brought out very nice in a theater play which devotees put on in Serbia. I thought it was an inspired theater play. And with this, I want to close my lecture this morning. After, I will, in the end, give you a little summary to, as an overview. It was a thing which really touched the heart. There was also ne, ich sage, ihr müsst gehen, oder? Ja, alles Gute. Schön, dass du da warst, Schwestigada. Ich habe den Stöffel besucht. One moment, please. Ich habe ihn nicht angetroffen. Er war in Spanien, aber ich habe seine Behausung gesehen, also Behausung, seine wunderschöne Sadhu-Quartier ähnlich. Und wir haben dort gechantet und ein paar sehr interessante Verwirklichungen gemacht. Also, ich würde dir sehr gerne darüber erzählen. Hast du heute Abend telefonisch Zeit? Bist du irgendwo telefon? Ab wann? 18 Uhr. Gut. Ich rufe dich mal an. Es wird dich sehr interessieren. Also, es war wirklich sehr, sehr beeindruckend. Also auch wie wir da hingefunden sind, schon mystisch. Also und ich habe da eine bestimmte Gotteserkenntnis gemacht, die ich dir gerne mit dir teilen möchte. We visited Shishtikata's friend, who is living a very, I would say, an authentic spiritual life in for himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, alles Gute, einen guten Tag. Möge dir alle Arrangierungen gelingen heute. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. So, yes. So this little story was just so nicely expressed by Krishna. It's like that. See, we gave the devotees a task, like we have given here, and Mangamaya was there for one of our seminar. We gave them some items and they had to make a theater play around it. So this one group, we gave a rope. So they had to make a theater play and perform in the night. So it was very nice. The theater started with a ghostly scene. There were ghosts. Very nicely played. There was one girl who was jumping on one feet, you know, and the other ghost said, you do this already for 1,000 years, don't you have another play? No, it's a very, very good play. So it was like this, it opened like this, five strong ghosts. All of a sudden the leader said, today we will get a new member. Then the second scene started. There was a poor girl, Kishori played the girl, who was very disappointed with her life. And she was on a chair. You know, there was a rope coming from down. And she said, ah, life was so uncharitable to me. Today I will take this life away from me. Now, at this moment when she said it, some devotee who really looked like, I don't want to be offensive, but a spaced out devotee came with his little gopal, you know, on the hand, like sometimes you see in India, they carry the little gopal in the room and said, oh, I'm sorry. She was just getting ready to hang herself. I'm very sorry. I have to go give Gopal today a sugar, but my sugar went out. And the girl who was just about to hang herself said, take the sugar from the table. It's there. You can have it. And you can even have the milk. There was, in other words, some tea and milk and sugar. You can have the milk also. Thank you, said the devotee. I offer tomorrow milk to Gopal. Not today. I will come tomorrow to get the milk. Then the light went out. She went out, the devotee went out, and then it was somehow very nicely done. There was this sound of the chair falling. You know what this means. The person has hanged himself. Then the third scene came. And that was very special. It brought tears in the eyes of many devotees. You saw the ghost castle, and the ghosts were all together, being very happy. All of a sudden, Kishori came in, the girl who hanged herself, and said, "Oh no, I didn't want to do it. But somehow the chair collapsed by its own. It was an accident." And so the people said, "You are now with us. We have a new member." "Where am I?" "You are in the in-between. You are where people who commit suicides go. You will stay for thousands of years with us." The ghost said like this. Girl was all bewildered. Now at that moment, Krishna came in, beautifully dressed, blue, with peacock feather. And he said, "No, she's coming to me, the land of bliss and knowledge." "Oh," said the ghost, "we also would like to go there." "And no, you cannot yet come," said Krishna. "Why can she come?" the ghost said. And now listen to the answer, so beautiful. "She promised me milk." You understand? The girl had said to the devotee who came to beg for sugar, take my sugar. I'm about to end this miserable life. And you can have my milk also. So go, the devotee had come in with a little Gopal deity, and Gopal had now appeared and said, "You promised me milk. That's why you go to me." Can you understand? It's nice, isn't it? Mangamaya has taken notes. Maybe it might appear in some other way in another theater play. I thought it was a very nice understanding of Krishna's nature, that for every little service the devotee renders him, he is grateful. And in the 64 qualities which are mentioned, the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna, there it is said that Krishna is never forgetful of any little service which any devotee renders him. So although what I have said, what Prabhupada says, that the living entity is acting according to his contaminated intelligence, and therefore it just cannot meet the Lord, still the Lord from his side thinks differently. The Lord from his side thinks that any little service which a devotee renders to him is accepted by him as something wonderful. Today we have the Sankirtan devotees as our guests of, well, guest of honor is Kosha Rupa, but they are also here, and they are, for you can be rest assured, for when you are out there giving the literature away to the you are actually becoming very, very, very dear to Lord Krishna. He has said so in the Gita, that no one of his servants is as dear to him as the one who spreads his words. And if you give the literature away to the people, that is precisely what you are doing. You are becoming very dear to Krishna. And he is very, very grateful for any services rendered. He will not forget anything. So your struggles, I wouldn't describe Sankirtan as a struggle, it's more your endeavors, eure Bemühungen, are for sure recognized by Lord Krishna, and rest assured that even if there is a little enjoyment and controlling spirit by the material intelligence, the Lord is not saying, no, no, you, I have nothing to do with you. So, Hare Krishna. So I will not see many of you much longer. I will go soon to yoga. We have a yoga festival, or no, is it yoga? It's not a yoga festival, it's a yoga event where I'm invited to speak. And then I will go to Zagreb to a peace summit, ein Friedensgipfeltreffen, where the president will also come and speak, and I will also speak a little something. I hope I find a little time to, I really have to think to say the right things. Afterwards, we will go to on our pilgrimage. We will go this time not to Vrindavan. We will spend Kartik in Gormandalbhumi, because I feel that at this stage it is very important to visit Vrindavan in Gormandalbhumi and do the Kartik Niyam Seva, the Kartik Vrata there, as part of a devotion of my devotional service to the Lord and to my exalted spiritual master. Yes, we will be in Vrindavan after Kartik to teach the Govardhan retreat. If some of you like to come and be with us, please do come. It's a very wonderful experience. Then we come back to serve. Very nice things have happened with the Veda Academy so far. I'm using this time to give you a little news. Finally, our project has reached the breakthrough. You know, we designed and built this 96 apartments are in this apartment block. This has made us extremely well known. The world of architecture speaks about the Veda Academy at the moment, especially also because we have now something where everyone can immediately see how the energies of Vastu works. It's called the Vasati Cobra. It's a thing, you know, which makes wet buildings dry. And we installed it in the one of the oldest churches in Germany who couldn't get dry, the Dresdner Frauenkirche. And it's now dry, and it's a wonder. And it's measured, and we have, and it also creates in any house, you know, the plants grow, the people become extremely healthy, and so on. By Krishna's mercy, it was actually Krishna who gave this. We found something where even the person who can only who is dependent on measurement, you know, with material tools, can see, and this is already the Lakshmi is just streaming into through the gates of the academy, and yeah, we give regular lectures, you know, where 300 people come in Berlin, and now I will also start giving lectures about Krishna consciousness, but I will have one psychologe, you all know her, Yusara, as my moderator and introducer, because if then when I'm introduced, you know, with a person who looks like a person of this world, then I will be very strong in my messages. You know, I will obviously always preach as is in my Dharma as a monk and so on. very nice things in the preaching. I also just came from Russia. Prabhus, go to Russia. Please go, Vanta. You have to see this. You won't believe it. This Russians have a different access to emotions. Let us say it like this. They are so enthusiastic in kirtan. You know, the nights we always sing. It's better than sleeping. Bhakti Bhai Baba Maharaj, I told already Mangamaya and myself, we were so enthusiastic in dancing that we were on the stage, and then Bhakti Bhai Baba Maharaj said to me, "Maharaj, let us jump in the crowd." I said, "Why not? You jump on the right side so that there is no accident. Jump. So mit so einem Körper muss man ja springen, nicht? So mit so mit auch mit Geschwindigkeit, ne? And I jump in the left side. And we went like, and everyone was going like, "Wah!" The problem was, however, I had so much speed when jumping that those who caught me were all, drifting over to the Mataji side. And we all went in this ocean of Matajis. The Matajis were screaming in ecstasy about something. It was a joyful occasion, nothing bad. And Russian Matajis scream in ecstasy. It's really loud, And then finally they could turn and go in the proper direction. But there were like 20 people carrying me, no problem. But then finally we had. So next time I will jump in the right side, and the other person has to jump in the left side. It's a little bit more cultured. Hare Krishna. Okay. So do you have any questions regarding this? It's a point which makes one think, isn't it? Isn't it such a true point? As long as we think we want to enjoy and control, we can't really meet Krishna. This, I think, I wanted this to be a message of my lecture, just so as to explain that it's really simple to see Krishna, but you really have to do something about it. Just like you can see the black bear walking over the football field, but you just have to be a little. You have to catch your intelligence, and I believe the more we catch our intelligence in doing something which is just for Krishna. In book distribution, it's very easy. You don't want to go out. At least I didn't want to go out. I hope it's not irreligious to say this. It was sometimes difficult for me to get out in the street because I'm so different than the people. We don't. It's difficult to communicate with the people. They don't understand me. I don't understand them so easily. And it's always so. But then you say, "For Krishna and for Prabhupada." Then you go out and you do it, and it's very blissful, actually. It's just, you have to catch your mind and intelligence so that you do something which is only for Krishna. And the more you do it, the more moments you have like this, the more you approach that ideal of pure devotional service. And then there are so many things to see, to perceive, it's amazing. Yes, Mangamaya Prabhu. I would say two things in answer to your question. Obviously, you have to know how Krishna can be met, you have to hear from Lord Krishna. Therefore, the scriptures which we read are so absolutely important. And you have to follow the knowledge which is given in the scriptures. But you also have to bring another quality, that is thirst. thirst or eagerness to see Krishna. Valadev Vidyabhushana was once summarizing bhakti as meaning thirst. And this thirst is a point also in our example. My water is now a little bit too hot to show you. It's still cooling. But when you're really thirsty, I don't know if you have ever been really thirsty, you don't want banana juice or ananas. You want water, because you know that is really what quenches the thirst. In the banana juice, it's the water. I don't know, maybe it's 90% water in the banana juice, or in 10% banana, and so on. And if you have this pure water, then it's really it's a mystical experience. I mean, I agree, you can just drink water like this, but when you're really hungry, thirsty, and you drink pure water and you meditate about Krishna, it's a divine experience. And the experience itself, if you don't take it so oberflächlich, superficial, it's just you feel cared for, you feel, wow, what is most needed is given to me by my Lord, and it's a, and so on. But this thirst is necessary. Without thirst, you cannot appreciate. And that means in a different language, without an eagerness, you cannot appreciate Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other devotee who has a question at this moment? Govinda.
You're saying that we have to give up this mentality that we are dangerous and we are the controllers. But there is also that this quality is in us because Krishna has this quality.
Yeah.
After this, so is it possible to give it really up?
Completely, you mean? Completely. Yes. Is it we have the qualities of Krishna to a little degree, said Govinda Das. So is it really possible to give it completely up? By the way, just I want to inform you a little bit about the art of lecturing. When you don't know the answer, just repeat the question and win some time. This is an art of rhetoric. No one will notice it. I'm telling you now because we are in the family. I would say the misdirected concept of enjoyer and controller can and must be given up completely. But you will enjoy in a totally different way, which is very difficult to understand when you are serving Krishna. The example which Prabhupada has often given is, if you give root, if you give water to the root, you will automatically supply the leaves. So when you serve Krishna, not yourself, automatically your enjoyment will be there through Krishna. So you can never, Govinda, this is the idea, independently enjoy from Krishna. This has to be given up, this understanding. But when you are with Krishna, there is the highest pleasure. But not independent from Krishna, it goes through Krishna. And now an example has been given, which I'm not sure if you can hear it. It's something intense. It comes in the Rasa Shastra. It says, when there is a sexual encounter between man and woman, although women have, and men who are on a high level have that idea to give pleasure to the other person, it's never possible psychologically to totally cut, that a man or a woman cuts himself off from the idea to draw pleasure from this encounter or meeting. It's not possible. Our human psychology does not work. But now when we speak of the meetings of the gopis with Lord Krishna, there is not even a shadow of desire for enjoyment. And we just cannot understand this, because for us it is not possible to think like this. For us human beings encased in a body and a mind, it just does not work. We can try, you know, there are, I mean, we are monks, and I'm sorry, I know about these things because I have a liking for psychology. I know that some people have some imagination that in a meeting between man and woman, they want to serve the other person. You know, then a child, a happy child is born, or whatever. I'm also not an expert in this, and as a sannyasi, I don't know exactly, don't need to know and wish to know. But in principle, I know there is this concept in the world of giving, it's about people of a high ethical degree. But it can never work, say the Rasa Shastra, to just totally not desire enjoyment for one's own self. This cannot work. In the spiritual world, it is there. In all rasas, obviously, in the cowherd boys, there's this wonderful thing about Govinda. This will make you call. Mother Yashoda, after Krishna left Vrindavan, was every day on the street, waiting with her artic plate for Krishna to return to Vrindavan, you know, with her artic plate. Just like she used to be there every day when Krishna returned in the, it's called the time Uttara Goshta. It's when Krishna comes back from the cowherd fields to bring back the cows. First they would see a dust, the Brijbasis, a dust cloud. Then they would see the Yamuna would flow the opposite way to go where Krishna is. You know, and then they would hear moo, moo. But before that, they might hear the flute play of Lord Krishna Balaram. And they would all come out, wah, they're back. And they would all, the ladies would have their artic plates to make an artic to drive away any inauspiciousness. So one day, Mother Yashoda came with her artic plate out at noon, when the midday sun was there. Oh, the elderly gopis came to her and said, Yashoda Ma, since 1 year Krishna is in Mathura, he has not returned. Since 1 year you're going out to greet your son, he will not return. And now you have even come out a little earlier in the noontime. You are standing there in the midst of the sun. You will get a sunstroke. Come home, he will not return today. But Yashoda stood there with her motherly affection on the road, ready to offer. Then she said, if he does not return in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I will take all the toys, a little calf, I will take his flute in a bag, and I will go to Mathura. Then I will go to Devaki, Ma, and I will say, here are toys for my boy. Just allow me one thing. I will clean the palace. I will wash the clothes. I will cook. I will do everything. I only want to see one time for a minute my boy. This was my mother Yashoda. She wanted to serve without any desire for her own enjoyment. She wanted to serve Krishna. Very moving, isn't it? This is the Vrindavan mood. And obviously, it's the highest Satchit Ananda, beyond Satchit Ananda. But the residents of Vrindavan or the devotees don't think of their own enjoyment, Govinda. It's not possible for us to conceive this because we work different with our body and minds. It's very inconceivable. As I said, because we have a material intelligence and so on and so forth. This high degree we cannot. Krishna. Dobro. So, yes, Anandini. Yes, Anandini. And the difference of the gopis, that they are in a special category. Well, all the devotees in Vrindavan, all have one mood, the mood of service to Krishna. That is there, and self, that is selfless service. They don't want anything in return. But the love of the gopis has some particular features which you will not find in other rasas. It's in Madhurya rasa, and if we would answer this, this is very special. They are Krishna's most special devotees. And the taste of their love is of a very special thing. But please do not expect that I give now the description of the taste of the love of the gopis. It's a very, it's really a few days. In Vrindavan, we might touch the subject a little bit. And from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But the distinction, and that was your question, between the love of the gopis and the love of all the other devotees, is not because there is something like that there is no selfishness in the gopis and selfishness or slight forms of selfishness in the devotees. You know, what... That's so difficult to explain. When you use, what appears to be one thing in the spiritual world, that, Krishna loves me very much because I'm... It's not the same as when a devotee says this here in this world. It has a totally different dimension and idea. You find this when Krishna says to the cowherd boys, I'm very hungry. He is not hungry, but he says it because only then the cowherd boys will stop and eat something and take out their lunch package. They will not say, I want to, cowherd boys don't feel, I want to eat now. Krishna has to say, I want to eat. Then the eating starts, not because of their desire to eat, will the eating start. So Krishna's words cannot be believed in this. cannot be believed in the way we cannot be understood in the way we understood words in this world. Yes, we need the milos, we need the mercy. You have understood it correctly. The same point appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Sanatana Goswami says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have explained all the things to me. Now please empower me that I understand these subjects by putting your lotus feet on my head. So Mahaprabhu does this in Sanatana Goswami. He feels this mercy, and now this may not so it, but it would be now wrong to tell to understand, well, do I need someone to place a hand on my forehead or his feet or you know this, no, Anandini, you need the mercy of devotees. It's that I'm reminded of. You know, this physical empowerment is not the point. I'm reminded of a very nice thing Harisori Prabhu said. One of Harisori Prabhu's friends had lost his beads, his initiation beads, and had given Harisori a new set of beads and for Prabhupada to chant on. So Harisori came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, my friend, this devotee has lost his beads. Could you kindly take these new beads and chant on them?" And Prabhupada answered, and I thought it was a very deep point. He said, "It's actually not needed. It's not that the beads are sanctified, the person is sanctified through initiation. But because we are human beings who have sentiments and so on, we need it. This is a good sign if our spiritual master chants again on our beads. It's good. But actually, it's not needed, this physical touch to empower. But then, why did Sarup touch him? No, that's not the question. It's just an expression of his affection that he did this. But yes, the main point of your wonderful question is, have you noticed how long the purport is to this verse where this is explained? Maybe 4 pages or so. 20 pages, yes. It's a very long purport where the point is made, really, when you read the purport, that it is by the mercy of a pure devotee that we can understand that these feelings come in to us. For a long, long time I was thinking about this, what this could mean. And I had this one experience I want to tell you about. An experience I could never ever forget. As some of you know, when we had our crisis time in Germany, my response was not to become angry at anyone, but I simply did pilgrimages to find out more deeper truths in Krishna consciousness. And I went mostly through the Himalaya mountains. And I was one day going to the source of Mother Ganga. It's called Gomukh. It is a 24 kilometers hike. You have to walk up the mountains. And as you know, I'm not the strongest person, but I'm very enthusiastic by somehow. So I remember it was on the middle of the journey when I really became weak. And what troubled me, upset me, is that I was already too late. See, in the Himalaya, you must know, don't travel after 4 o'clock in October, because then there's always these storms which come from the high mountains down into the valleys. And if you have to go against such a storm, and sometimes it's dangerous. People have been thrown off the little paths into the valleys and so on. So I had 2 times I walked at the wrong time, and this was the second time, and I knew what was coming. So I said, okay, Krishna, Krishna, I need a little pause to gather all my strengths. And I sat behind a stone, so the wind was coming on this big rock, and I was in the Windschatten, sagt man, wind shadow. Is it an English word, Kosharuba? Wind shadow?
No, it's understood.
It's understood. Yeah. Oh, Krishna. Don't ever think you know a language because you know a few words. When you really want to express something, it becomes difficult. So wind, I was in the shadow of the wind. In other words, the wind didn't hit my body. And I was just chanting, sitting. Here was the rock. Krishna, Krishna. And all of a sudden I looked. And then, you know, there was my path. It went up to maybe half to where Bhakta class is sitting under here between us. And then it went down and the valley started. And then the bottom of the valley, I saw a forest of birk trees. Other birk trees. These are the white trees which you have in...
Birch.
Thank you. Birch trees. Birkenbäume. And in that forest of the birch tree, I saw something which I could never ever forget. I saw, to be more precise, someone whom I could never forget. It was a devotee. He had a tilak. He was a Ram Bhakta. And he was chanting. I couldn't hear what he was chanting because I heard everywhere you hear the Ganga and the storm. But I could see him. The sun was falling right onto the spot where he was sitting. And he was chanting, I guess, Raghupati Rajaram. And beautiful tears streamed from his face. And I was a little absent-minded and I was gathering my strength. So I looked at him for a long time. For 20 minutes he was just crying his heart out to his Lord. And all of a sudden my whole perception changed by seeing this. Isn't it? When you see a crying person, you are a mataji, you know better than me, then you also feel like crying. As a mataji, especially, Anandini. The soft mataji heart is easily touched by emotions. And so I saw this for 20 minutes, and then I thought, well, I better chant a little better here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was going into some more chanting, you know, and so on. And I left, and I was the wind shelter, and then I didn't even think about the storm any longer. I just chanted happily my Hare Krishnas, with this time with some emotion. And I have seen this in my own spiritual master. I've seen this in Srila Prabhupada. There were occasions when he went into ecstasy and cried, you know, for Krishna. And it was just, we were all mesmerized. Have you been present, Yashoda Rupa? It was in Mayapur once, there we were present, and I believe in Paris. There was some other place, I think Paris, but I might be mistaken. Two times I saw, and it was really touching my heart in a way where I felt, this is bhakti. Now I have understood the point, you know. You need that, I felt some mercy was going inside, because sometimes we make mental constructs and our own interpretations of what we hear, isn't it? But the living experience, it has to come from someone who has it, and that's why we need the in your language the milost. Milost means mercy. We need the milost. Hare Krishna. Now we have a scandalous time. It's 15 minutes to 10 o'clock. Your bones and backs are aching. Your stomachs are screaming. You require prasadam now. Let us end the class here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.